to change my answering machine now that I'm alone. Cause right now it says that we can't come to the phone. And I know it makes no sense, cause you walked out the door, but it's the only way I hear your voice anymore. It's ridiculous. It's been months. For some reason I just can't get over. And I'm stronger than this, yeah. Enough is enough. No more walking around with my head down. I'm so over being blue, crying over you. And I'm so sick of love songs, so tired of tears, so done with wishing you were still here. Said I'm so sick of love songs, so sad and slow. So why can't I turn off the radio? Gotta fix.
4 seconds to go. Lincoln for the lead. Blocked again. Cody again.
Oh my.
Alabama wins.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Our station is just one more thing that's better than Auburn. 90.7 The Capstone.
Minutes after the hour, you're listening to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. All right, we're come to the time of the show where we're going to do a little bit of heckling. And we're not just heckling anything in particular, but guys, I know this is typically a really sad part of the year, the part where the regular season in baseball has ended. That's right, 162 games for 30 teams have all been played, and that adds up to a lot more math than I can do in my head right here. But the regular season is over, and that's a sad time, guys. You can go ahead and cry about it if you want to.
I'm kind of happy.
Okay, well, I mean, that's true. It's a sad time for those of us who are fans of good teams that we've enjoyed watching play the regular season and whose fans of teams who tend to only do well in the regular season, but never mind that right now. Talking as a Braves fan there. Let's talk about your goodbyes and good riddances, though, because the regular season is a long, laborious process for the most part. You know, you always hear the cliche, oh, it's a marathon, not a sprint. One game doesn't matter. You can lose a guy for 40, 50 games, and he'll still be there for two-thirds of the season.
Or 211.
Well, that
you can lose a guy for 50, and we'll just start him right in the playoffs again and completely forget about the drug chart. Yeah, just
forget about it. Never mind that. Nelson Cruz, of course, just came back and was like a charm.
It's okay to get suspended as long as you're back for the playoffs. That's the message
absolutely.
To be learned here.
Well, technically, of course, 163rd game is not a playoff game, even though it may as well be a playoff game. But never mind that. All right, so I've asked you guys to compile your goodbyes and good riddances and get out of here's for this regular season. In other words, the things that you won't have to put up with for the rest of this year, at least until the start of next regular season. Maybe if you're lucky, never again. Brett, what are your goodbyes?
Goodbye to, I know we're going to hear about him, but I'm happy that we don't have to see A-Rod if we don't have to. Like, we're not forcibly to hear any story about Alex Rodriguez or anything else with that. I know he's got the suspension and all that, and you'll have to hear about that, but we don't actually have to see him. Like, he can go to Miami or wherever he goes and go hang out with the celebrity lifestyle. So I'm happy to say goodbye to A-Rod. Stop hearing about the stories every single week.
Well, for me, we know that I'm pro-umpire. I like to have umpires. I like the human element. But this whole instant replay has led me to say good riddance to umpires. Because with it, now everything's, you know, allowed to be on instant replay. And every time you see, even last night, you know, they were talking about the rules of replay and how they always say, well, next year, this won't be, it won't matter at all because we can review everything next year, you know, with the challenges. So more or less, the umpires are going to be there, but the whole human element of the umpires and the idea of what the umpires stand for is pretty much gone, more or less.
No doubt. And I'm sick of a lot of stuff when it comes down to it. I enjoy watching baseball, but, you know, I'm just not a complete baseball addict, like I guess you could describe the two of you as. And so I'm sick of hearing about the Astros and how terrible they are. I'm sick of hearing people say, oh, don't worry, they'll get there. They're getting better. They're getting better. They're an awful team, and it absolutely drives me crazy when people just keep throwing that out there. Oh, don't worry. They'll go on a run. They'll have their day. Of course, the Dodgers completely ruined that for me because they actually did go on a run and have their day, and their run has yet to end. But I'm sick of the Astros. I'm also sick of A-Rod. But, Brett, I think you covered that pretty well. And as a Yankees fan, I'm sure you're far more sick of him than I am. I'm also sick as a Braves fan of people reminding us, oh, well, the Braves fell apart in 2011. Could it possibly happen again to them that they blow a huge regular season lead? I'm absolutely sick of hearing about that. No, it's not going to happen again. That was a historical once in our lifetime, probably, because basically the Braves and the Red Sox both blew bigger leads than anybody in the 100-something year history of baseball has ever blown in a division race. So the idea that it's going to happen again 2 years later is absurd. I'm absolutely sick to choking of hearing about it.
Also, what'll make you happy is Sam Holbrook is not working that Braves series.
Thank
exactly. Sam Holbrook is working the Dodgers, or he's working the Pirates series. So he's not going to be in Atlanta for those games. Well, so good for you.
I don't know. You kind of got the Sports Illustrated curse right now, I think.
Well,
the,
I'm not as concerned
Uptons
about that.
And Kate Upton being up on it.
Right.
So they're kind of getting the publicity now, which is kind of funny seeing B.J. Upton actually get any publicity for how
Christian,
he played.
Sam Holbrook is scheduled for the Cardinals series again?
Yeah.
That's sketchy.
Mm-hmm. That's more interesting.
That sure is sketchy, isn't it? The intrigue deepens. Pittsburgh, be careful because I know I can already write the story now that in 3 or 4 days there's going to be some awful blown call.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
He's on John Hirschbeck's crew, and Hirschbeck is his first year back after not working last year. So he's back. He's the crew chief of that crew. I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah,
that's interesting.
Thank goodness
you just
Major
do not
League
have
baseball.
To deal with Sam Holbrook until maybe the NLCS. So maybe.
Joy. Well, at least we can go a little bit deeper in the playoffs than we did last year, thanks to the man. All right. I guess we're going to move on. You have one. Okay. All right. I think Maggie actually has a good riddance as a Mets fan, so that's probably a lot of them.
Mine's kind of a more broad spectrum type deal, but my good riddance would be to the ever-switching lineup that we had this year. All I want as a Mets fan is some sort of consistent lineup that can last for more than a month and a half without crumbling and getting switched out and injuries, different players, calling people up, sending people down. You know, our starting rotation, I don't think we made it a solid month without switching up someone in that rotation. It's a mess. So I'm done. I want some consistency. I'm tired of the ups and downs. I mean, we already have enough ups and downs losing and winning. I just want a consistent team personally.
Lots more downs than ups, usually, at least recently, of course. But interesting that you brought up lineup changes, though, because that kind of rolls into what we were going to talk about next a little bit. A couple of really, really interesting moves, in particular for the Braves as it comes to the National League Divisional Series games that they have coming up in the next couple of days. Dan Uggla did not make the Braves 25-man playoff roster. And obviously, this is huge news because, number one, Uggla is halfway through a 5-year, $62 million contract with the Braves. He hit worse this season than any major leaguer ever has in 500 at-bats. So he you can't say that he deserved to make the roster, but it definitely surprises me, guys, because I don't remember many times that such a big name has been left off of a playoff roster, regardless of how poorly they did in the regular season.
Definitely a surprise just based on, you know, his history with teams and especially Atlanta. He's been, I guess you could say, somewhat one of the faces of Atlanta. You know, people recognize the name, recognize the player and everything. But, you know, even growing up as kids, we were always told you hit, you play. Mm-hmm. You know, and that hasn't really happened, you know, but this does free up a lot of time for Ugla to train his forearms, you know, and maybe wear a smaller jersey. So that we're left with, maybe he'll do like hammer curls in the offseason. Yeah. I don't know, but we'll see what happens.
But see, I think taking this at the roster point, I think he doesn't give you anything defensively, and then his hitting hasn't done anything for you. I think the Braves could easily use someone else as like a pitch runner or an extra reliever instead of having Ugla be part of that team. So I think it's a smart move because you want players that can play in these situations. So if he's not on the roster, it's kind of big, but you would have done what the Yankees did with A-Rod and took him out because he just doesn't hit in those situations. He'll be pitch hit easily.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes for the Braves. Elliot Johnson, one of the now three Johnsons on the Braves that have no relations to each other. Elliot Johnson, Reed Johnson, and Chris Johnson, to go along with the two Upton brothers that, of course, are brothers. Just bizarre stuff happening over in the Braves. It's starting to sound like a Utah family tree. But it's just been really interesting. Paul Janish will make the playoff roster for the Braves, and he's capable of filling in a bunch of spots. But another guy that didn't make the roster for the Braves is a guy that's pitched very, very well for the Braves this year, Paul Mahalom, that came over in that Tommy Hansen trade from the Braves, from the Dodgers. Did not make the playoff roster either. And, of course, he was a little bit injured, but still interesting that the Braves decided to leave him off, even though there's a chance he could come back because he, at one point this season, Mahalom was carrying the Braves.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's what they have. They don't have their ace, and that was one something this, you know, series, they need to designate someone as kind of their interim ace, you know, just for the time being, you know, and we don't know who that'll be. I thought it was going to maybe Mahalom. I guess not. I guess I was wrong. Good thing I'm not picking rosters, though.
Exactly. And there's also plenty of other injuries that there is to watch, like Jason Grilli, who is probably one of the best stories. He just came back from his forearm injury. And so I think this playoffs is more who's going to be healthy enough to make the last. And so that proves why the roster spots are very important, because there's a lot of guys that are injured going into these playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. The Braves have they have Chris Medlin on the hill against Clayton Kershaw this Thursday in their game that's coming up tomorrow night. So that'll be a huge, huge game for the Braves to get off on an early foot, hopefully against Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
That's a bad pitching matchup, though, because Kershaw has absolutely dominated everybody he's played so far. But Medlin could definitely be up to the task. Mike Minor against Zach Greinke the next day is a little more concerning to me as a Braves fan, because Medlin has proven that at times he can pitch like an absolute ace. Mike Minor has some, but he's not been nearly as consistent so far. So I guess from a Braves standpoint, we shall see where that's
going. This is what
go.
The Dodgers wanted when they signed Greinke. They wanted to be like, here, we have two scary guys that teams don't want to face in the playoffs.
Are people still scared of Zach Greinke, though? I mean,
I think a little bit. Because the amount of money he's getting, I think they signed him to be a scary guy. Yeah. I don't know how necessarily scary he is, but he was signed to be that guy.
We act like he has not had a very good season. And I know ultimately he didn't play up to to what you would have liked him, but really his 2013 season was not that bad. He had a 2.63 ERA, 15-4 win-loss record, 148 strikeouts for Greinke in 2013, and of course was out for almost a month after the ridiculous brawl.
Yeah. He played linebacker against Carlos Quinton and lost. Yeah.
Took a big hit and definitely came out
naturally
on the worst
as a fan of another team that's in the NL West. We're taught not to like Zach Greinke, you know, just because he's kind of a punk. You know, and I think a lot of people tell you that. Dodgers fans will probably tell you that, too. But, you know, I have that mindset when I see him pitching, you know. And then I just think of that whole situation against San Diego, which was bizarre anyway. He wanted to flex his muscles against Carlos Quinton and just got trucked.
And here's the other deal with Greinke. Post-All-Star break, he has a 1.85 ERA, and 7 of his wins came after the All-Star break. So he has been very, very effective in the last half of this season here, kind of coinciding with the rest of the Dodgers becoming an absolute unstoppable machine. Mm-hmm. So Greinke is definitely nobody to be messed with.
Yeah. And luckily, we did not use the P word while talking about the Dodgers.
We haven't said the P word yet.
And we're not going to because you got a hip injury right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just hope that maybe he won't make the roster. If the Braves can't take Mahalam and Ugla, then let's hope that Puig doesn't make the roster for the Dodgers as well, just so we don't have to deal with it. Although that would mess up my dream playoff scenario. Remember, I wanted Puig to make the roster and then just go completely hitless and let Evan Gaddis absolutely.
No, I think you accept him not being on the roster too.
That's fair. Okay,
we did say Puig though, so we should expect a call from the FCC a little later today because we were told that's not allowed. So we all need to hunt for new things to do on Wednesday.
We were concerned about Baker being the one to say something that would get us kicked off.
And we could call him, what was it, something Bob? We could just use that.
Flaming Yaziel?
Yeah, there we exactly. go.
We'll just call him Flaming Yaziel from this point forward. All right, when we get back on the other side of the break here, we're going to talk about Henderson Alvarez throwing the most irrelevant no-hitter possibly in the history of baseball. We're just going to see if there's a scenario that we can make it more irrelevant, because I really don't think there is. We'll be back on the other side.
She's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head. She acts like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's a time to change. Since the return of her stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June.
Jim McElwain calling the plays, hammering away at the clock right now. And Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone. How about that?
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the best sports staff in the country right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
A little bit of shout out to the Boston Red Sox there. Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond, of course, one of the great songs. And you know what's funny is naturally in my head, I filled in the ba ba ba.
Everyone does.
So good, so good, so good. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought Neil Diamond actually does do the ba 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 though. Usually
he does. He does in other songs.
Well, why did he not in this song?
We need to update that.
I want the ba 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 Neil Diamond.
I agree.
Somebody write that down. We need the ba 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 Neil Diamond.
Wait, where's Christian? He's our promo guy. Where's our music director? We need the ba 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 Neil Diamond because that's Sweet Caroline.
Does it do it later in the song? Because we only heard the beginning.
No, I mean we heard all the way through the first chorus, and I'm pretty sure it ba 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 is in the first chorus. Now, I don't really know where to go about that. Maybe we just jinx the Red Sox. Is it possible that we just jinx the Red Sox because the ba 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 wasn't there? That's interesting.
As long as we don't get the live version from the All-Star game where it just continued going.
No doubt.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm starting my Red Sox beard for October. So I'm trying to fit in with
there.
The team.
It's getting there. You're probably, at the rate it's going,
it's not Napoli level yet.
I mean, only a year or two away from being right there with them,
probably.
Christian.
Yeah. Keep going. It's right. Getting itchy, though. I will tell you that much.
Yeah, so. No doubt. I know how you feel about that. I just shaved the other day for that very reason. Plus, I looked like a caveman. Never mind that. All right. Henderson Alvarez for the Miami Marlins Sunday night. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Henderson Alvarez for the Miami Marlins. He's a pitcher, believe it or not. He is actually a pitcher for him. He's number 37, 23 years old from Venezuela, has been up with the Major League Club for 2 years now. Threw a no-hitter Sunday night. Now, when we mentioned this in the production room before the show, sports director Alex Biskis goes, "Who? Did what?" Nobody knows about this no-hitter because it's quite possibly the most irrelevant no-hitter in the history of professional baseball. At that point, the Marlins were sitting on 61 wins and 100 losses. That's right. They had just cracked triple digits. And they were playing against the Detroit Tigers, who had, at one point in the game, seven of their starters sitting out for the postseason, seeing as how it was the last game. They didn't want to get anybody else hurt because Miguel Cabrera, obviously, is still dealing with some injuries, too. But probably the most funny aspect of this entire no-hitter was that when Alvarez struck out the third guy in the top of the ninth inning, he thought the game was over. Mm-hmm. He struck out Matt Tuiasosopo for the Tigers and started to celebrate, only to realize the Marlins had yet to score a single run, and so they had to go to the bottom of the ninth for him to actually win his no-hitter appearance. And then, of course, they won in the most Marlins way ever with bases loaded, and they get a wild pitch to go through and win because that's just how the Marlins would win a no-hitter. But my question to you, gentlemen, is there a way that this could have possibly been a more irrelevant no-hitter? I cannot conceivably change any aspect of it that would make it more irrelevant.
There was nothing about this story that just was not bizarre. Mm-hmm. First of all, they were playing, it was the Marlins, so it wasn't like it was the worst team in the league, because if it was the worst team in the league, it would have been noteworthy to be like, oh, the worst team in the league just got a no-hitter. Like,
yeah.
So the Marlins aren't the worst team, so they're already kind of, everyone forgot about them. Then they're playing the Tigers, who haven't had anything to play for since opening day. They've been the best team anywhere. So no one was watching the game, obviously, in Miami. People were actually at the game, though. I think they had like 28,000 or something like that. It was a really good attendance.
Which is shocking for Miami.
Yeah, it was like, okay, we haven't been there for any other game, but when it's the last game of the year, let's go and support him and everything. And so the attendance was all right. Okay, all right. It was Miami standards, though, so it was good. Mm-hmm. And then the way the game ends was the strangest thing ever. I don't think I've ever seen that. And then once the team tries to sell tickets for it, they want to resell the tickets to say, like, pretend you were at this game and you were able to see it.
P.S.
They
go and put, you know you're a terrible team when you have to sell fake tickets that acknowledge you weren't there,
pretend
but you
were at this event. They go and put the wrong date on the tickets.
Yep.
The tickets they were selling $15 plus charges plus services for this ticket, this fake ticket. They put the wrong date on it. They put the date of this upcoming Sunday. That whole organization is in shambles. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah. And that when I first heard the Marlins even had a choice in this, I totally thought of Anibal Sanchez, who was the last Miami, I assume was the last no-hitter thrown for Miami, who's currently on the Detroit roster. And he was 22 when he threw his, and I thought, well, let me look at the records and see the same. Actually, Anibal Sanchez was 10-3 for that 2006 season. But no one knew who he was, and it worked out for him that a few years later, now he's in the playoffs with Detroit. So I feel like now Miami's going to be like, okay, we got to get this guy out of here. He's actually known.
This is like Fernandez and, you know, maybe this guy too, that if maybe they just need to ship him out of there. And then they can go, you know, do something else. Because I feel like Fernandez could be really good. Yeah. You know,
they're going to be gone.
I'm still not even sure that Henderson Alvarez is known, though. Y'all are saying, okay, well, this is his, you know, shining glory moment.
Oh, I don't think that.
I'm not sure that it is. I don't think many people still know who he is. In fact, I bet you there are a bunch of Marlins fans that don't know that he had a no-hitter. Marlins fans that haven't turned on the TV in the month of September, as I wouldn't if I were a Marlins fan. But it's just, he was 5-6.
The only reason people in South Florida turn on Fox Sports Miami is to see if they're talking about the Heat yet.
Or the Dolphins, potentially, who up until Monday night, of course, were undefeated, and then they played an actual team. And that changed quickly. But nonetheless, the Marlins are definitely the stepchild of the city down there. Them and their cute little ballpark that they've got going with all the fish and everything.
Prancing fish and everything.
And that statue.
The swirling statue in center field that's absolutely enamoring to look at. Let's just be honest, guys. There's nowhere you'd rather be than looking at that statue. So I can't conceive a way that could be a more irrelevant thing. I mean, it just seems like it's absolutely
even
absurd.
Coverage of it was not there. You know, usually when a guy's like got a no hitter through like five, you usually see it on bottom lines. People are talking about it. I didn't see it until the eighth that he was even had a no hitter.
Because I think they thought he was possibly going to have to go into extra innings with this no hitter, which it's happened before, but that's just horrible for a guy to deal with that. Like, here, go for 10 innings and continue pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I know we're about to get out of here, guys, but before we do, since next time we gather together will be after all of these first round of playoffs have ended, we're going to do predictions. By the way, our predictions game that just ended partly during the regular season, Christian, you have 5 points. I have 5 points. Brett, you have zero points. So you've got a lot of ground to make up. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that later on. I want to just do brief predictions for how you see this first round going here. All right, in the AL wildcard game tonight, you both took Cleveland and I have the Rays, correct?
That's correct.
That's it.
I personally have Cleveland as well.
All right, so 3 Cleveland, 1 Rays. I think Tampa Bay is going to prove you all wrong. Let's go to the American League Division Series, Detroit and Oakland. Who's going to win that series?
I like Oakland. The key in this series, though, is no one needs to hit the ball near C.B. Buckner where he has to make a call. Okay, because he got the postseason assignment for this series. And
it's totally true that if the pitcher has the ball in one hand and tags the runner with the other hand, he's out.
Everyone
right?
knows that rule from everyone. Knows that. You can tag a guy with an empty hand. That's
it's just
totally
possession
out.
Of the ball, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm going to go with Detroit because I don't trust the Oakland pitching staff because Bartolo Colon's your best pitcher. That's kind of sad.
I'm actually going to take Oakland here, Maggie.
I'm going to take Oakland, too. I want to see some Moneyball action, you know, that great movie comes out. It's a good little pep rally for the team, and I think they can pull it off.
Billy Bean! All right, guys, I know that this game has yet to be decided. Tampa Bay and Cleveland play tonight to see who's going to go play Boston. But does it change, number one, does it change who you think is going to win that series depending on whether Tampa or Cleveland wins tonight?
I don't.
And yes or no, who wins?
I don't think so. I think Boston beats whoever they play. I can't change the rules of the game now, but in my head, I changed my World Series winner to Boston over, I had Detroit and now I picked Boston to win it.
Okay.
That's why I'm growing the beard too.
All right. Yeah. I can't pick Boston to win the World Series, but I think Boston's going to win this series, regardless of Cleveland. And a good storyline, Tito going against the old team of Boston.
That is a great storyline. I actually think the Rays are going to win tonight, and I think the Rays are going to beat Boston both.
Bold.
So I'm probably going to be completely wrong. We've seen how inept I am at picking baseball overall, but we'll see, I guess.
I really think that the Pirates are going to go all the way. I think they got the motivation. I think they got the determination. And I think everyone wants to see it happen. They want to see it happen. They have the talent. I'm going to call the Pirates right now.
So they have the motivation, the determination, and everybody's fascination, I guess is what you're saying. Yeah. All right, let's move to the National League. I'm sorry for that pun. That's just wrong, and I should
another
slap
flaming
for that.
Bob over here.
Yes, Flaming Crawford up in here. All right, the National League Division Series, the Dodgers and the Braves. I think it's pretty obvious who I think is going to win this. The Dodgers, of course, are going to get stomped on by the Atlanta Braves. In my head, at least, we'll see where it goes for real. But what about y'all?
I'll take the Dodgers on this one.
This is going to be a good series. I take Atlanta.
Atlanta. All right. And then Pittsburgh and St. Louis. Last one. I've got Pittsburgh.
I'm a big Clint Hurdle fan. I stick next to Clint Hurdle. They're winning the series.
Yeah, I think even though we're all going to say Pittsburgh, I'm going to say Pittsburgh, but not later on.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the student section. We just went a little bit over, but, you know, there's just so much baseball to talk about. 1 hour cannot contain it all. Make sure to tune in tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon with Andy Bass and the rest of the guys on the student section.
People can still tune in tomorrow morning.
Well, you can tune in tomorrow morning, absolutely.
We can't tell when to tune in.
I mean, 90.7 is here 24/7 for your streaming pleasure. We'll see you next week.